Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Today we're going to speak about God is a good listener. God is a good listener. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to you and know that your ear is open to the cries of our heart, to the petitions of our soul. God, to the needs of our circumstances, dear God, and whatever we may be going through, the trials, the storms, dear Lord, the situations, dear God, things within and things without, dear God. Lord, we know we can come to a God who's attentive and who embraces us and listens to us, dear God. So, Father, speak to us and give us listening ears today to hear about you and to just be able to receive a deeper revelation, dear God. Not that I have anything profound here in the scripture, but God, you give us a deeper revelation. You, through your spirit, dear God, open our eyes and our understanding to how close you are and how much you long to hear our voice, dear God. Father, give us that grace tonight. And Father, we pray for the youth meeting, dear Lord. We just pray for an open heaven, for all the glory of God to come down in a mighty way. Break every chain, break every barrier, break every form of bondage, dear God. Open every prison door. Heal the wounds of the hearts, dear God. Father, deliver from bitterness and hardness and wounds, dear God. Father, we're just asking for the glorious to take place, dear God, for the miraculous. Nothing less than your glory in the house tonight. And in every classroom, in every class, every session, including this one, dear God, we're just allowing you, inviting you in to have your way amongst us, dear God. We belong to you. We've sung about it, and we believe it with all our hearts. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you guys good listeners? Wow. Wow. Someone's honest here. Yes. Sometimes. What would... I haven't heard from you. With a show of hands, if you know what makes a good listener, how would you describe a good listener? And how would you come to the conclusion that he says sometimes, so he's analyzing whether he's a good listener or not. So what in your mind, what does a good listener look like? Just a few thoughts. Yes. Slow to talk, right? Slow to talk. That's good. Ooh, a doer. Not just a hearer, yes. Right, just like this brother shared, hearing and doing. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? It's like a fruit of the Spirit, the ability to listen. I'm sorry, ask questions when you don't understand. That's great. That's good. Repeat, right? Follow the thread of the conversation. Repeat. You've come in contact with good listeners, right? Have you? How about bad listeners? Anybody else? Yes. Not a respecter of person. I'll listen to you, but not to you. I'll listen to him, but not to him. Right, not a respecter of person. Yes, sir. Empathy, right? Sensitive to their needs, respectful of what they're going through. Yes. Awesome. Retaining, not just, you know, right? But, yeah, yeah. Ooh, not interrupting. Thank you. Yes. Patience. Back there. Taking suggestions. Obedience. Anything else? Yes. Not quick to judge. Oh, you're hitting. I think you've preached the message already. Okay, man, you're hitting all the points. Awesome. Faith. Yes, faith in God. Sometimes you need faith to listen to somebody, to hear them out. You need to be walking in faith, because they could be sharing something with you that's shattering everything within you. You know what I mean? And you got to keep listening and say, God, I trust you. Yes. Love. Awesome. Focus, undivided attention. Awesome. I was thinking about that. That's awesome what you guys have shared. I was thinking about the not so good listeners that we've come in contact with. And I felt convicted on one of these points, but I know that I've probably been a participant in all these things, but I thought about the drowsy listener. Have you ever spoken to a drowsy listener? They may be interested, but they just can't keep their eyes open, right? My wife will throw something at me if my eyes start closing while I'm listening to her. No, I'm just joking. Don't be quick to judge her. How about the disinterested listener? The one that's bored when you're speaking to them. You can tell they have no interest. And they may ask you a question. You begin to answer them, but then they show no interest. And you're like, why did the person even ask me? Because I start giving them a response, and it's like, I don't really care. You know, I'm just asking a formality. Disinterested. How about the distracted? Either in their own world, they're daydreaming. You could tell they're gone. They're looking at you, but their eyes are not. Their insides are not. You know, their eyes may be looking at you, but they're gone. And you're like, okay, you can say anything. Blah, 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 like she was doing in the microphone. And they'll continue going like this. Distracted, or they're looking at you, you know, and then they look over the shoulder. You're talking to them, and they're looking over the shoulder, like looking for somebody else. Have you ever spoken with someone like that? Don't point at anybody. How about the disruptive listener? The one who constantly interrupts. We heard about that. Or the divergent one, the one that changes the subject all the time. Or the one that distorts what you've spoken. Oh my goodness. It's like they hear what they want to hear. And I remember you told me, and I said, I did not say that. You know, there are people who hear messages from the pulpit, and they will hear what they want to hear. It's a scary thing. They will take the word, they'll distort it. It's almost like living in delusion, and they'll hear what they want to hear. And they'll be preaching about the enemies of their soul, the enemies, and they'll think, this is my enemy, that's my enemy, I knew it. God is speaking to me, I got to rebuke this person and that person. When God is speaking about the other issues of the heart that they're not dealing with, hearing what you want to hear, distorting what you're listening to. How about the debaters? Oh man, they counter every comment you make. Yeah, but no, not really. Everything you say becomes, and you don't want an argument. You're not there to fight. You just wanted conversation. But yet they're turning everything into a battle, into a counterattack. You get tired of even speaking to this person because everything becomes a debate. The dominant listener, the one who's quick to give counsel. Somebody mentioned that here. Quick to give orders, quick to tell you what to do. They don't even let you finish what your situation is, but they got a scripture verse for you. They got something to share with you real quick. They know what you got to do, but they haven't given you the time to share your heart. And you probably weren't even asking for advice. You probably weren't going to them for counsel. Maybe you just needed somebody to just unburden your heart, but they're quick to, bam, bam, this is what you got to do. You got to do this. And this is why you're going through that situation, because of this and this and that. This one hurts. I don't even know how to pronounce this, divulging or disclosing listener, the one who makes public what was meant for their ears only. Ouch. Let me just continue. And lastly, last but not least, the discouraging listeners, the ones who kind of like put you down. You want to share something with them. Maybe it's an exciting piece of news. Maybe it's something that you're excited about, but quickly they throw something on you, like to discourage you, to put you down. And they do it like trying to be realist, you know, trying to get your feet in reality, feet on the earth. You know what I'm talking about? What they're really doing is just throwing a wet blanket on you. It's like just discouraging you, putting the fire out. I mean, God has been speaking to you. You share it with somebody, and they just blow you off. And I've been convicted in that area as I was preparing for this, as to how I treat my daughters and how I respond to what they have to share. You know, all of a sudden this spiritual man of God, you know, has to make things right and correct. And God's, if you don't get anything out of it, I just thank God that he laid this on my heart, because he's been dealing with this in my heart. As to how I listen, how I respond to what they have to say. They're kids, you know? And they say things that may not be so correct or so in line with how you think they should be thinking. But I pray that God would give me a listening ear and a tender heart, that I wouldn't be a discourager, that I would be able to listen to people, hear them out, And I wouldn't be quick to just give out my suggestion and my counsel and my opinion about the situation. But I would let God be God in our conversation. Amen? God is a good listener. He is a good listener. Whether you need the comfort or the sympathy of a friend, He's there. He's ready. He's waiting. His ears are open wide. Whether you need the counsel and the strength of a father, He's there. He's there as your friend. He's there as your father, ready to guide you, ready to listen to you, ready to counsel you. And His counsel is true. Amen? Whether you need to confess your sin before Him, He's a forgiver. He's not just a friend. He's not just a father, but He's there to forgive you. He wants to hear it from your lips. He wants to hear what you're doing, what you've been going through. Don't regard sin. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you know, it's like if the Lord doesn't hear me. It's like if there's a brass heaven. But God wants to hear what you, He wants you to confess. He says, Adam, where are you? It's not like God didn't know where Adam was. But God wanted to hear from Adam, this is where I am. This is what I've done. This is where I've fallen. This is where I fall short. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's waiting for that, not because He's a cruel God and He wants to just hammer His holiness upon us, but we need to see where we are. We need to be honest with Him. We need to come clean with Him. Amen? And He waits for us. He sometimes is so patient. He's waiting for you to just get it right and for me to get it right. And He's such a patient listener. Thank God that He is not distracted when we come to Him. He is not bored. He's not put off by our whining and our complaining. But yet He invites us day in and day out, morning by morning. His mercies are new. He invites us to come into His presence and to hear our voice. He loves to hear our voice. The reason why I rejoice in that He's a good listener is because He rejoices to hear my voice. There's something in the heart of God that leaps when He hears my voice. It's an amazing thing. And my daughters, when they were young, they would leap and jump when Daddy came home. But now there are other distractions and other things that they're... And I'm like, Daddy's home. Hey, where are the hugs? Where are the kisses? Oh, hi, Daddy. From upstairs or from wherever they are. But there's something in the heart of God that doesn't grow tired of delighting in His children, that delights when we come to Him, when He hears our voice. It's an amazing mystery. Oh, my dove, Song of Solomon says, chapter 2, verse 14, that are in the clefts of the rock, hidden in Christ, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. In other words, approach me. Approach me. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, my dove, He longs to hear our voice. How long do we go without speaking to Him? How long can we go without directing our words to Him? He longs to hear our voice. He'll put everything on hold to hear our voice. He'll stop the parade. He'll stop the caravan. He'll stop everything. He'll move heaven and earth if that's what it takes to hear our voice. He longs to hear from us. He doesn't tire. He doesn't grow weary of hearing from us. I believe his soul, his inner being just leaps within it every time we approach Him. If we could get a glimpse of this, if we could get a revelation of how much He rejoices every time you shut that door behind you, you get on your knees before Him and you come, even without the desire to pray, you come in honesty and say, God, I am so weak. I don't even know how to pray. And He is rejoicing in heaven. He's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. He's calling me Daddy. He's coming to my presence. He rejoices in His children coming to Him. I don't know if you believe it in your soul, but I pray that God would give me a believing heart to know that He jumps for joy every time I enter into His presence. Every time I call upon His name, He leaps for joy. I'm reminded of Elizabeth when she heard the salutation of Mary. She just heard the voice of someone carrying Christ within her bosom. She heard the voice of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, which was in John the Baptist, leaped within her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit leaps to hear the voice of someone carrying Christ within him. I imagine heaven leaping and rejoicing every time a child of His that carries Christ within him by faith. We come into the presence of God and we say, good morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for last night's sleep. Thank you, God, for a new day. Thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you, God, that even in my weakness, I can approach you, oh God. Lord, even in my failures, even in when I, beyond what I see in the mirror, I can come into your presence and know that you are listening to me, that you're a good listener. Oh God, give me the grace to understand how much you rejoice to hear my voice. He'll shake the foundations. He hears Silas and Paul singing and praising God in the midnight hour. And I'm telling you, that shaking, I don't believe was just a testimony for the prisoners. I believe it was to show them the power of God and to show them who these men were praising and who were. But I believe it was a testimony for them that in the midnight hour, he is still a good listener. He is still listening to every cry of our heart, to every praise that goes his way. He is listening, and he will tap his feet to the beat. He will shake the foundations. He'll do whatever he has to do to show you that he's listening to you. Amen? He will do it. We got to keep on coming to him. We got to keep on coming to him because he rejoices in listening to us. He is a good listener. He cares for you. He loves you. He misses you. He misses you. You can bring anything to him. Anything. You don't have to have it all together to come to him. He's a good listener. You don't have to be an eloquent prayer warrior, an intercessor. You don't have to be one that marches up and down and just storms heaven. You can come with your feeble prayers. You can come with your wimpy prayers. You can come with whatever. He loves to hear your voice. You don't have to have some title in the church to be, I'm an intercessor, I'm a this, I'm a that. You can come into his presence because you're his child. And he loves to hear your voice. You can bring your worries, your complaints, your concerns, your petitions. You can bring thanksgiving. You can bring your praise. It's not so much what you say. It's not so much how you say it. It's that you're coming into his presence. It's that you're not robbing him of this joy of the king. Sometimes we sing, let the joy of the king rise among us. And we just imagine the joy of the king as joy hitting the house of God. You know, his joy becoming our joy and just joy rising up within the house of God. But I believe that when we begin to pray, when we just come to his presence, we know that we're not praying so that he can hear me, that she can hear me. We're not worried about who's listening. We're just coming into his presence because we know God's ears are open. We come with an open heaven. We come knowing that God is willing to move on our behalf. We know that God is not rejecting us, that God has not put a brass heaven over us, that we come into his presence. I believe that's the joy of his heart. That's the joy of the king that we want to rise among us. And thank God that he shares it with us. He shares that joy with us. When he's dancing in heaven, he will put that beat in our hearts. He will share that joy with us. You can come downcast into his presence. You get on your knees. You begin to praise him. You begin to come into his presence. And you're going to begin to sense his joy. He's going to begin to share his joy. He rejoices that you came into his presence. He will make his presence known to you. And you will come out leaping and dancing. You will come out rejoicing. You went in one way. You came out leaping and rejoicing and praising God because his ears were open to you and he was a good listener. Amen? Prayerlessness robs God of this joy. Our silence robs him of this joy. I don't want to be judged as a thief when judgment comes. I want to be one who didn't deny him the joy of hearing my voice. Even when I didn't rejoice in hearing my voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even when I didn't even think he would rejoice in hearing my voice. I would think, oh no, he's going to get tired of me just coming into his presence and praying this same thing. He must be weary of this. But I understand that he doesn't grow weary. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. Even in the midnight hours, he'll wait. We can wake up and say, oh man, I can't sleep. He's a good listener then. Not just in the morning and in the evening. He's a good listener. In the middle of the night, he's a good listener. Don't blame me now if you can't get any sleep tonight. It's not my fault. He rejoices in hearing our voice. Second point, he remembers what we've said even when we said it a long, long time ago. He's such a good listener that he will not forget what you and I have said. Our commitments to him, our promises, he hasn't forgotten them. Our petitions, our supplications, our requests of him, even when we grew tired of bringing them to him, he has not forgotten. I think God wants to tell somebody here tonight, don't give up. He hasn't forgotten you. You are in His plan. Sometimes He just waits to bring an answer because He's waiting for us to realize that we can't do it in our own strength. Or He may be waiting for something else, but He knows the petitions of your heart. He knows the commitments that you've made to Him. And sometimes we expect God to answer in a rush because He's done it in the past. He's come and He's answered quickly. How many have that testimony that you prayed for something and man, God came through quickly, miraculously, amazingly fast. Daniel had that experience in Daniel chapter 9. You could read it. You know what? Let's turn there. Daniel chapter 9. He had this experience of God answering quickly. If you get to Ezekiel, keep on going to the right just a little bit. Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 18 of chapter 9. You know what? Let's go to verse, 18. Oh my God, this is his prayer. Incline thine ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we did not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. In other words, I'm not coming to you because we deserve it. I'm coming to you because I know you're a merciful God. I need you now. The people need you now. Such an awesome way of praying, to understand that we don't deserve to even come into his presence. We don't deserve to get an answer, right? We just come in humility and we come appealing to his mercies. O Lord, verse 19, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Verse 20, what does it say? While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, the Holy Mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. My goodness, talk about a quick answer to prayer. The guy is praying and the angel of the Lord appears before him. Right? He's in the middle of his confession. Bam! The answer is there. Right? But look a little bit ahead. One more chapter. Just one chapter ahead. In Daniel 10, he prays in verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. The guy is praying for 21 days. He's on his face seeking God, fasting, praying, dedicating time to the Lord, asking God. And the answer does not come. Just one chapter away from a quick answer. Do you see it? And then in verse 12. It says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. The angel of the Lord appears to him again. It says in verse 12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. From the very first day that you prayed it. I don't care how many years you've been praying this. From the very first day that you made supplication unto God, he heard your prayers. He's not late. He's on time. He may not come whether we want him, but he will be there right on time. The song we sing in church says, be there right on time. He knows when to answer our prayers. He knows how to answer our prayers. And he listens. He hears us the very second we begin to cry out unto him. Amen? Let's not rush him. Let's not try to put a timetable on God. God knows our days. He knows our seasons. He knows our times. He knows what we need. Let's just be specific with him and continue to come into his presence. I believe we've got to continue to bring these petitions to him like an altar that we've raised. Continue to remember what we prayed. Continue to come back. God, remember, I prayed this. I know you remember, but I don't want to give up on this. God, I'm praying until the final day, until it's all said and done. Lord, you have your way, but God, I'm still going to ask you for this. I'm still going to request this of you. I'm still going to bring this before your presence, so that when you answer, dear God, I will know that this testimony is to the glory and honor of your name. I don't want to forget that you're a God of faithfulness. I want to dedicate my home to you, and I want to remember all the days of my life, even when it gets hard to pay the mortgage. I want to remember that day. I want to go back to that day and say, God, I dedicated this home to you. I want to entrust my children into your hands. With the day they're born, I want to put them into your hands. I want to say, God, I don't know how to raise them, but you do. You know how to make me the father that I cannot be in my own strength. And then when they're teenagers and they're going through the trials of their life, I want to bring it back to that altar and remember, God, I committed them into your hands that day, and you heard me, because you're a God that's a good listener. You're a God who hears me. I want to entrust my life once again to you. I gave you my life when I got saved. I entrusted, and I said, God, do whatever you want with me. Take me wherever you want me to go. And when things get rough and I'm in the fiery furnace seven times hotter, when I'm going through the battle of my life, I want to go back to that point, that altar in my life, and say, God, I committed my life unto you, and I know you are faithful to keep everything that's entrusted into your hands. You took my life and you listened to my prayers. You heard my commitments, dear God, to you, and you're serious about me. You're serious about me. God, I want to come back to that and realize that you are the God who heard me back then. You're still the God who's in control of my life. I don't care what I'm going through, what I see with my natural eye, God, I see a God who's a good listener. I see a God who hears me and who remembers what I said, even when I said it a long, long time ago. Amen. Third point, he reminds us of what we were talking about, even when we're interrupted. Have you ever been interrupted in a conversation and then all of a sudden nobody remembers what we were talking about? And somebody says, what was I saying? And you're like, I don't really know. And you feel kind of embarrassed because you don't remember the last thing they said. That's how good a listener we were. Man, you're just talking away. And what were we talking about? Oh, I can't remember. But there are some good listeners that will remind you. Oh, the last thing you said was this. You were saying, you know, you get interrupted. Natural things happen. But they made a mental note, like somebody mentioned here. They remembered. They retained what you were saying. And then when you come back together, they said, yeah, you were saying this and this and that. You know, God reminds us of what we were talking about, even when you and I want to get off track. Even when you and I want to get off subject, can we just lay this down for a while? Can we just do a parenthesis here and lay that down? And then when we come back into this presence, says, yeah, as we were saying, there's something in your heart that I'm dealing with. There's something that I'm asking you to lay down. He remembers. He reminds us. He knows that even in the interruptions of life, there are issues in our hearts that have to be dealt with. So he will continually bring them back and back again. Sometimes we lay things down for years and we just put it off. We got tired of hearing sermons about it. We got tired of hearing God confirming. So we just put it on the shelf. We say, we don't want to talk about that again. But then there comes a time where we draw nigh unto him again and we get honest with him. And then we go back into that prayer closet. We say, God, deal with me. We've forgotten about that issue. We put it so far behind everything else on the shelf that we don't even consider it anything to be spoken about. So we come back into his presence and says, God, I'm ready now. I'm ready. Shine your Holy Ghost fire and light on my heart. Expose everything that needs to be exposed. God, here I am. I entrust my life into your hands. He says, as we were saying a few years ago, before we were so rudely interrupted, I just want to remind you what we were talking about last time. And he'll bring it back. Maybe when we're a little bit more ready to receive it. Amen? He's such a good listener. He's such a good listener. We got reason to rejoice. We got reason to rejoice. We got reason to trust him. We got reason to pray. We've heard time and time again that it's time to pray. It's time for the church to pray. It's time to get serious about prayer. But we got to understand who we're praying to. And it's not just an act that we do. It's a person who we come to. Amen? It's not like we're going to faith, we're going to be victorious because we prayed. Because we did a lot. You understand what I'm saying? We can so easy. There's a fine line between trusting in our prayers and trusting in who we're praying to. And we got to be very careful here. We got to remind ourselves constantly who it is we're speaking to. The one who has his ears open. The one who has his hands stretched forth. The one who's ready to move on our behalf. Amen? And that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. Not because we came to prayer meeting. Not because we fasted and prayed for 3 nights straight. Not because we did this or we did that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's because of the God who we come before. It's because of the God whom we put our trust in. Amen? And all the glory goes to him. He's the God who keeps us on track. He's the God who gives us the ability to deal with issues that we've wanted to put on the shelf. He brings his message back. He brings his word, his scripture back to remembrance. The Holy Spirit was given to us to bring back to remembrance those things that he has spoken to us. Amen? So what he has spoken to us, we don't just want to say, oh, what a good word. Yeah, we heard it. We want to let him remind us of it. How many of you agree with me? I don't just want to hear a sermon on Sunday and then forget during the week what it was about. You know, when somebody, and I'll tell somebody, hey, you got to get Sunday. Oh, that was awesome. And then they'll come back with, what was it about? And you'll go, you know what? It was something about the grace of God, but it was really good. Man, I want to digest. I want to let the Holy Spirit work it out in my heart. Are you with me? I don't just want to say, man, that was a good lesson, Pastor Carol. Man, he was so deep. Man, scriptures were coming alive. Oh, yeah? What did he speak about? Yeah. You know what? I haven't heard the CD, but I got it, and I'm going to listen to it again. So this way I can tell you exactly, you know? I don't want to misquote him. God is a good listener, but I believe he wants to make us good listeners. Doesn't he want to make us like him? Isn't he fashioning Christ within us? So I believe that he's not only teaching us how much his ears are open, but he wants us to have an open ear to what he's speaking. Didn't he say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Lord is speaking. Let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. He that has an ear, he wants us to be a people of a listening ear. Not just to listen to one another, which is awesome. I believe it's a fruit. I believe it's a fruit of grace and of his Spirit that we'll be able to be patient enough. It takes patience to sit down and listen to someone. I'm reminded of a friend I had in elementary school. Nobody was his friend. He was just like an outcast. And it was because he had a speech impediment. The guy could not make a sentence without it just dragging along. He had to force words out of his mouth. And somehow God gave me grace. As a young child, he gave me grace to just listen to him. I don't know where that grace came from. I just have to thank God right now that I was able to be his friend. Because I was patient enough just to sit it out. Sometimes I couldn't even understand it. But one word that I understood gave me the ability to understand like the gist of what he was talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes there are people not with speech impediments, but just people with different personalities and just different ways of speaking that it's hard to listen. For your ability and your preference, you would prefer not to listen to this person. And I believe it takes the Holy Spirit to give us the grace and the patience to just sit it out and say, yes, I am interested in you because God is interested in you. And if God is willing to listen to you and to take time out to listen to you, then who am I to reject you and put you off? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I believe God wants us to become good listeners to one another, but also to have an ear to say, God, you spoke to me. That message was for me. God, I don't just want to say good word. I don't just want to say good word, Pastor. I want to say, God, that was a good word, and that was for me. Remind me, Holy Spirit. Remind me. Keep me in tune with this word. Let me understand it fully. Let me digest it and just meditate upon it and see it coming alive in my life. Let me walk it out. Amen? And that's our homework. When you come to these Bible classes, even though the pastor may not give you homework, that's your homework, to live it out, to say, God, make it a reality in me. Let it become life. The word of God says that the word became flesh. Amen? It became visible. It became tangible. It became something people could perceive. The Word of God became something that could be seen. And God, I want this Word to become something that's seen on my job, that's seen at home, that's seen in my neighborhood. I want it to be seen through my life. Amen? Fourthly, and I think I have about 6 points, so this way it gives you an idea of where we're going. Because I can say fourthly, and I have a list of 40 things, and you don't know whether to be happy or not. Just 6 things tonight. He rightly perceives what we're truly saying. He that planted the ear, Psalm 94, verse 9, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. Not just what comes out of our lips, but the thoughts of man. And he rightly perceives what we're truly saying. Have you ever heard someone saying to you something and then their body or their countenance is saying something else? That it doesn't match. It really doesn't match what they're saying and what they're showing you with their body. Kids do that a lot. I don't know how many parents are here in the house, but kids will say probably the right thing, but you won't see the right attitude on their countenance or in their tone. Matthew 15, 7 and 8, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. So God is the God who rightly perceives not just the words of our mouth, but the heart that's coming behind it. He says, out of the abundance of thy heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes the mouth doesn't speak what is in the heart because we have a facade to keep up. We have a Christianese to display before everyone. So we will say the right things, but God sees right through to the heart. Amen? He sees the intents of the heart. He sees your judgments. He sees the issues of your heart. He sees the motives. He sees what you're truly saying. He can read right through it. And he's still a good listener. He can put us off so many times. He could say, ye hypocrites. He could say, just like the scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, get away from me. You're saying the right thing in church, but you're not, your heart is far away from me. But my friends, these religious folk were bent on their religion. Their religion was their God. Are you hearing? Don't feel condemned. You want to be right with Christ. You want the Holy Spirit to come and examine your heart. So let there be no condemnation tonight. You're coming before a God who sees right through what you're saying. But this is the beauty of God. This is the beauty of Him being a good listener. That He will show you and I what's in our heart. He will like shine the light as we're praising Him, as we're saying, how great is our God. How great is our God? And we're just, in our minds, we're saying, man, how great is my voice? How great am I? Wow, I sound so great. I sing better than this guy. I sing better than that guy. I should be in the choir. He will shine the light on us, and He'll say, what are you saying? And you and I, if we're honest before God, will say, oh my God, you truly are great. You truly are great. And you'll begin to sing that song with newfound knowledge and revelation of how great He is, how good of a listener He is, and how merciful He is to us. Amen? How merciful He is to us. You could be singing, how great is our God, and you could be thinking, how great is my problem? You could be thinking, how great is my storm? Right? And He'll shine the light on you. He'll say, do you really mean what you're saying? Do you really mean it, what you're singing? And you'll say, God, I want to mean it. I want to mean it. And He'll whisper to you. He'll say, believe it. Believe it. Align your heart with truth. Align your heart with what you're singing. Don't feel condemned and don't buy the lie of the enemy that says, shut your mouth. Don't sing. You don't really feel it. Who are you to raise your hands and say, how great is your God when you're going through the storm of your life? Who are you? Don't buy into that lie of the enemy. You begin to shout it because you know it's true. You begin to sing it because you know it's true. It's written in His Word. It's written in your heart. And even if you don't feel it, you begin to align your heart with truth. You begin to profess truth. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about the Word of God. God is faithful. God is true. God is holy. God is everything the book says He is. No matter what you're going through, you begin to praise him. And you say, God, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Now, I'm saying, God, I have a father that never fails me. But I feel like if you failed me this morning because all hell was breaking loose on the job. And I just felt like you had abandoned me. I was like, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm singing here, I've got a father who never fails me. You know, God, I believe it, God. I don't feel it, but I believe it, and I want my heart to align with truth. God, give me the grace to believe what I'm singing. Make it a reality in my heart. And you begin to profess it. Yes, God was in control of that situation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is truly the God who listens to us and allows us to hear what we're truly saying. He goes beyond the words. And he looks at our attitudes, our reasonings of the heart. And he desires that we speak truth by faith, not by feeling, but by faith. Even if our flesh is not feeling it, he wants us to profess truth. He lays the axe at the root. He goes to the issues of the heart. So he'll go to the intents of our heart when we speak to him. We could be saying one thing and he'll ask us a question. He'll ask us a question, a right question at the right time. Just like a good listener does. A good listener is not just interrupting and just changing the subject. A good listener will ask the right question at the right time. And God does that. You'll be speaking your heart out. You'll be praying your heart out. Praying for your wife or your husband and change him, Lord, and change your God. And God, you've got to do something here in this situation. And God will ask you, how about your heart? Do you want me to do anything in your heart? And you'll realize, whoa! This is why it bothers me so much, because it's right here. There's something that's irking me in this brother or this sister, and it's bothering me, and I want them to change, but it's because there's something here. That's why the anger is rising up. That's why the resentment is there. And God will begin to ask the right question at the right time. Isn't he a good listener? He is a great listener. So he rightly perceives what we're truly saying. Fifthly, he remains attentive at all times. He's watching over us as the apple of his eye. He doesn't remove us like someone can remove a contact lens. You are there to stay. He is watching you day in, day out, at all times. The eye of the Lord is on them that fear him. The eye of the Lord is on those is upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. His eyes and ears are open to them who hope in his mercy. Over and over again, the word of God confirms that God is paying attention to every detail of our life, every second of the day. We can't understand how he does it. We just know that he does. Every second, nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing that comes your way shocks him. Nothing that no news, no report from the doctor, no news from your boss. Nothing that can come your way, no news headline can shock him. Nothing takes him by surprise. He's aware of every detail in your life and every hair that's on your head. And I don't hear anybody giggling. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Your alone time. He's there when you're feeling lonely. He's watching over you. His ears are open to hear your cry. Don't go through it alone. Don't just get on the phone and call somebody because you're lonely. He's a good listener. Remember, he's watching you. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there to listen to you. Don't just grab a book to escape the pain, and don't just grab something to ease and numb the situation in your heart. Go to him. His ears are waiting for you. His arms are waiting for you. Run to him. He's with you. He's paying attention to every detail in your life. When you're going through the battle of your life, you're being tempted. The enemy has you where he thinks he wants you, and he's breathing down your back. He's saying you're going down, your mind. You call yourself a Christian. Look how weak you are. You can't even sustain yourself in this temptation. I'm in control of your life right now. Who's your God now? Who's your God now? You run to him. You get on your knees. You get on your knees and you begin to say, God, your ears are open to my cry. This poor man who has nothing to offer, you cried unto the Lord and you heard me out of your holy hill. You came and you rescued me over all of my fears, out of my distress. You came and you plucked me out of the miry clay. God, you rescued me, you saved me because I cried unto you and your ears were open to my cry. You run to him in the midst of your battle. Don't try to fight it in your own strength, my friend, my brothers, my sister. Sometimes all it takes is just bending the knee. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know what it is about it. I guess it ties in. It's nothing. I mean, the Bible is full of all types of prayer. Standing, kneeling, throwing yourself on your face. It's not about the position of your body as much as the position of your heart. But sometimes it takes just bending the knee to realize my heart has to be bent before God. This battle is too hard for me. This mountain is too high for me to climb. This enemy is too strong for me to fight in my own strength. I bend my knee, but I want my heart to be bent before God. And you bend your knee before God and you say, oh God, if you don't come through, I am dead. I am dead. But your testimony is at stake here. And you are a God who's a good listener. Make this a testimony that you hear the cries of your children. I can't make it without you. Sometimes right there and then, you're up and you're strong and you're saying, what was I battling again? I don't even understand what I was battling. I'm waking up and I'm just getting up off of my knees in strength. I feel the strength of God. And a few minutes ago, I was debating and I couldn't do it in my, I was going to fall. I got on my knees. Bam! The strength of God. Sometimes it's quick like that. Sometimes it's not. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here if you've gone through situations like that. Sometimes it may take another coming again. And then the enemy comes in and roars like a lion and you come again. But don't stop coming because his ears are always open. He's paying attention to every detail in your life. Whether you're on the mountaintop, you're in the valley. Whether it's the morning, the noon, the evening, the middle of the night, before a meal, before you head out, his ears are open. He's watching you. He's watching you before the service. He's listening to you what you say before the service. He's listening to what you say during the service. He's listening to what you say after the service. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Even after the service, he's paying attention to you. It's not like the pastor gives the blessing, you all go home, and that's it. The presence of God was here in Times Square Church. No, he remains attentive to you at all times. A few weeks ago, I had my cell phone in my pocket, and Elder John called me, and we spoke for a little while. And I hung up, put it in my pocket, and just went about business at home, like usual, and having some conversation with my wife. And then the phone rings again. And it's Elder John. And he says, did you call me? David, you called me. And I said, no, I didn't call you. My phone was in my pocket. And he says, no, you did. You did call me. And I see something like if the phone was on instead of on lock, right? And he says, yeah, I heard you and your wife speaking. It was in your pocket. And I was like, oh, that's funny, you know? But you know what I was thinking, right? I told him, no, that was a mistake. I mean, I must have pressed it, you know, by mistake or whatever. Okay, end of conversation. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, oh my God, what did I say? Was he listening to something that shouldn't? He was like, okay, he called me, so I could stay online. I don't know that the phone is in his pocket, right? So he could be listening in, and he could be. Waiting for me to say, hey, John, I'm here, you know, I'm just calling you. So he's listening. I say, you see, Elder John is not just a brother from church. He's my neighbor, my literal neighbor who lives down the hill. And I'm telling you that God hears even what we speak about our neighbors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our neighbors may not hear what you're speaking, but God is paying attention at all times. And I think it's a concern of the Christian. It should be a concern of how we speak about one another. Not just in church, but outside of church. How we speak about the pastors, how we speak about the leaders in our church, how we speak about the members of ministry and the members of the choir. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether for good or for bad, allow God to examine the way we speak. Sometimes our good comments are not really that edifying. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I say to a worship leader, man, you are the best worship leader. I mean, there are other worship leaders, but you are the best. You just like beyond. Come on, guys. You want to be a blessing to them? Tell them they're a blessing to you. But if you're starting to compare other worship leaders, do you understand what I mean? It's almost a disguised religious, you know, religious way of building people up, but you're really at the expense of tearing other people down. It's almost like saying nobody has the anointing but you. You understand? So I believe God is wanting us to be aware of His ears, open to our cries, yes. Open to our prayers, yes. But open to every conversation we have. Every word we speak to someone else. To people in our family behind closed doors. God is still, His ears are still open. Amen. Over the phone, every word you write on Facebook, before it hits the waves, before everybody in cyberspace sees it, God has already seen it. God is attentive to everything we do, every word we speak. Amen? He's a good listener. He's a good listener. Lastly, He responds when we're ready to hear. He just doesn't butt in and give us some orders and give us some counsel. But sometimes He has to wait. Wait it out. And let us just pray. And let us come and come and come back and ask and knock and seek. Because He's doing something. And He's waiting for something. And we don't understand sometimes His timing. We don't understand why He hasn't answered. Because I prayed in faith. I even fasted. I had a witness. I received the word. The word bore witness into my heart that this was for me. And I prayed about it. And yet, no answer. It's like Paul saying, I prayed three times. Take this thorn of flesh, thorn in the flesh away from me. Take this thing of Satan that buffets me. Take it away from me. And I come back to you, God. And I'm praying in faith. God, I'm analyzing what it is about me that it could be that's causing this. And I'm surrendering it to you. I'm doing everything I know possible. I'm studying the scriptures. And I'm just yielding it into your hands. But yet still, your answer is not coming. And I'm coming before you. Coming, knocking, seeking, asking. But you may not be ready to hear, my grace is sufficient for you. You may not be ready. The first time you prayed, you may not have been ready for that answer. Listen, buddy, my grace is going to carry you through. No, I don't want to hear that. This has to go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know Paul's situation, and I don't know, but I know that sometimes God waits for us to be ready to hear that response. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take you out of that job. You've been asking for me to get you out, to get you out, to get you out. And you've been crying out for a better job, for a better job, better job. And I haven't answered because you're not ready to hear that I'm keeping you there. You understand? This is just an example. You may not understand that you want out. You want this. You just want out of this trial. You want this to finish, end, to be testimony. God, it will be a testimony to your glory, God. It will be, I will testify in church the next time they have testimony night. I will be there. I promise you. I will say I was going through this and this and that, and God brought me out, and I praise God. And we're probably not ready to hear, I'm not taking you out right now because I'm doing something deeper in your life. But when we keep on coming, He's either going to change our prayer or change our situation or do something that we're going to be ready to hear what He has to speak to our hearts. Do you believe it? I believe it. He will do something in our hearts that we're open to hear. He'll come at the right time. He responds when we're ready to hear His response. He will know. He will give us the ability to receive what He has to speak. Amen? He's a good listener, and He's patient, and He doesn't interrupt us, and He waits for us. Job is reasoning, Job is questioning, Job is going through the counsel of his friends, and he's debating things in his heart. Job is going through the trial of a lifetime. And it's up to the last chapters of the book where God has to say, okay, Job, sit back, relax, put your seatbelt on, get ready. Gird your loins. Are you ready for this? Can I speak to you, Job? Are you ready to listen now? To put your reasonings aside, to put your questionings aside, and just to give me your good ear. Are you ready to hear me, Job? Who put this earth up in space? Who holds the sun in place? Who's in control? Who tells the sea up to where it can go? Who created the sea monsters? Who created this? Who has your life in the palm of his hand? Or Job begins to receive a revelation. I believe he wasn't ready. Throughout the whole book, he wasn't ready to hear it. He was still open to hear these counsels and to hear his own reasonings. But then God comes at the right time and responds to Job and gives him a revelation of who he is when he was ready to receive it. Amen? I believe that God is like doing a work in our hearts. He sometimes doesn't answer. It's not because he's busy. It doesn't mean he's being arrogant as a big, high and mighty, lofty God who answers when he feels like it. That's not the God we serve. It's not because he's too weak and he has to muster up enough strength to come and minister on our behalf. It's because every time we set our face to seek and knock and ask, he is doing something in our life. He's doing something. He's tuning that instrument that he's going to use for his glory. And just like the musician has to keep on ding, 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 playing that key to tune it, to bring it in line with the master key, to keep on ding, ding, ding. We keep on coming back to him. God, do what you have to do. I'm going to keep on coming back to you. You tune the instrument. Tune me so that I could be a voice in this generation, so that I could be an instrument to your praise and to your glory, so that I could be a voice in this dark hour to the hope that the people are missing, to the truth in the gospel. God, tune whatever you... I'm going to keep on coming. I'm not going to put limitations on when you have to answer or how you have to answer. You do whatever you have to do, God. I will go through the fire because you're doing a work in my life. You're testing my faith. And just like this sister was testing the microphone and saying, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3, and testing, 1, 2, 3, until the sound was right, until the man got it right over there. We keep on coming back to him, even through the test. It's maybe test 1, 2, 3. It may be test 1 to 1,000. It may be test for years, but we keep on coming back to him because the man is doing something in our life. He's working something so that we could be a mouthpiece to the glory and honor of his name, so that we could be a fine-tuned instrument, that there would be no uncertain sound, that people would hear us and know that God is true. They would know that God is alive because they see it in you. They hear it in you because you've gone through the fire. You were patient. You kept on coming back to him. You went through the testing. You went through the 1. You went through the 2. You went through the 3. You kept on knocking. You kept on asking. You kept on seeking. And God was fashioning his faith and his love and his hope in your heart. He was doing a good work of his grace and his spirit in your heart as you continue to come back to him, building your trust up, purifying your faith, purifying your motives, setting you free from doubt and fear, revealing who he is, revealing how gracious he is, how faithful he is, and how good of a listener he is. Amen. A few weeks ago, I arrived at work and I'm parking the car in the parking lot, and two teachers that commute together started walking to my car, even before I got out. So as I'm getting out, they say, Mr. O'Neill, I'd like to ask you a favor. And I said, sure. They says, can you pray for my son-in-law? They gave me his name. He's going to go through a serious operation. It's a very delicate operation of the spine, the back, And I'm not known in school as a I'm a teacher in elementary school. I'm a gym teacher. I'm not known as a mighty man of faith and prayer in the school. You know, I was a little taken aback. I'm not the preacher man in the school. I'm not the one who goes around preaching to my colleagues. And they just came and they asked me for prayer. I says, okay, sure, we can go to your room. So they invited me to the room, and we got together with a few teachers, and we prayed for him. And I prayed in faith that God would touch him, and God would heal him, and God would just reveal, do a good work in this whole ordeal of the operation, that God would take control of the hands of the surgeons. You know, a prayer. It wasn't a loud prayer. It wasn't a prayer that I thought was, you know, altogether. In my judgment, you know, sometimes you judge your own prayers, you know, and you say, oh, that was a wimpy prayer. What was that all about? And then we judge those that are, you know, wow, loud and on. And we say, man, the glory of God was on that prayer. God sometimes sees things differently. But after that, I just went to the bathroom and I just got on my knees and I said, God, please, for the glory of your name, these teachers are not even, you know, born again Christians. You know, God, do it for the glory of your name. I wish the story would have been, oh, and that day, I said, let me know when when you hear from him, because the operation was that day. So at 3 o'clock, I asked her, how is he? Mr. O'Neill, everything went fine. Everything went perfect. The family is so grateful. Thank you for praying. I left that day. You know how I left. I left on cloud nine. I was leaping for joy. Yes, God heard my prayer. Yes, God, you keep faithful, using me on the job. Yeah. But you know what? I believe that what we're talking about here is that God, even when we ask and knock and seek and things don't come out the way they should, he's building something up in us. Because it didn't stay like that. I asked, some weeks later, I asked, how's he doing? How's Bobby doing? Thinking, you know, she's going to say something like, oh, he's doing great. Thank you again for praying, you know. So I ask, and he says, Mr. O'Neill, I got to tell you, ever since that day, ever since that operation, everything has just spiraled backwards. He's gotten worse and worse. Things upon other things have come upon him. And now they have to do the operation again because something got detached or something like that. And you know how I felt. I was like, oh, man, what a bummer, you know. I wanted the testimony to be, man, that guy is strong. That guy is, you know, he's going to church now. He's seeking God because he knows that he was prayed for and God healed him. You know the testimony I was looking for. But I'm asking her frequently, how's he doing? How's he doing? And I'm going to keep on coming to God for this man. I'm going to keep on coming to God because I'm not going to judge what I see by my natural sight because I know God is a good listener. And God is doing something no matter what I see. And I'm going to just allow this to be a testing period in my life, and I will continue to yield my faith to him. I will not give up and say, God, how dare you not answer that prayer? How dare things get more? How dare things get worse when I've prayed to you, a holy God who can heal him in an instant? How are things spiraling now out of control in another operation? What kind of God are you? I'm not going to accuse my God. I'm going to trust in my God who has everything under control. You may be going through a situation where you've seen things getting worse instead of getting better. You've prayed for someone, you've prayed for a situation, and things are not happening the way you thought were supposed to happen. Probably even going backwards and getting worse. But I just encourage you this evening to keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, because there's bread in his house. He has the supply that you need. And he's doing something in your heart and in mine so that the testimony will be to the glory and honor of his name. Let's pray. Father, we just want to entrust our lives into the hands of the one who has heard every prayer of our hearts and who invites us to keep coming. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, dear Lord, and I pray for every discouraged believer, everyone who's, as it were, not in their what they say, but in their heart has been giving up, dear Lord, on petitioning you and asking you for certain things, dear Lord. They've grown tired of coming back to you, thinking that you can't, you're not, that your ear is heavy, that it's not hearing what they're saying. And God, I just ask you to quicken our hearts tonight. To run to you, to know that your ears are open wide. Give us a new desire, a new passion to be in your presence, oh God. Give us a new, fresh revelation of who it is that we approach. How wonderful you are. How great you are. Give us grace. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, your ears are open to their confession that they need you. God, we don't have to hear it. But Lord, you hear their cry. Father, I ask, dear Lord, that they would receive you tonight, that they would embrace you tonight, because I know you're embracing them. And God, I just pray, Father, that you would stir us up once again. Stir us up with Holy Ghost fire. Oh God, to storm heaven. Not with audacity, not with impatience or insistence, dear God, but Father, with a confidence that cannot be denied, a confidence that knows the God we approach, that knows that your hand is extended, that your arm is not cut short, and that your ear is not heavy. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, dear God. And we ask finally, dear Lord, that you make us truly, dear God, good listeners in the house of God. Not just to hear the word that you're speaking to our hearts, but to listen to one another. Dear God, to hear the burdens of our brothers and sisters, dear God, to feel sympathy and compassion and empathy, dear God, and to be truly the house of God that cares. Lord, we don't want to be just a religious group that comes together, praises God, and goes home. Everything's fine, dear God, but we want to be touched by what you're touched by. We want to. Your word says that we weep with those who weep and we laugh with those who laugh, dear God. Give us that sensitivity. Make us truly a body of Christ. We thank you for this body. We thank you for Times Square Church. We thank you that every race, every kindred, every tongue is represented here, dear God. But Father, there's a unity that only you can bring, oh God. There's a bond of love that can only come from the throne room of grace, and we ask that you begin in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.